My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to be talking and teaching the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, and we're going to go through it verse by verse. Now, this book is a tremendously important book. It has some tremendously wonderful things in it, and we can learn a lot about the scriptures and about the Apostle Paul and about the gospel through Galatians. And so get your Bibles out, get your pencils and papers out. This is a Bible study, and we're going to have no idea how long it's going to take us to do it. I'm going to go 27 minutes thereabouts, and then that'll be part one, and then we'll have part two, three, four. I don't know how many times it's going to take to get through this book, but it's tremendously important, and I'm going to take my time because we're going to teach the Bible. So get your Bibles open to Galatians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, 1st and 2nd Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then Galatians. And we're going to start off with verse 1, chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle. Before we start this, you've got to understand where Galatians is. I'm sorry. Galatians is in Turkey, and this is a huge area. And this Galatia is just a province. It's a huge area. It's kind of like Kansas is a state. And there's quite a few different churches in there, the Galatian churches that Paul had started. And so he's writing this letter to them. These people have already been grounded in the gospel. And he's taught them the gospel. And this is a tremendous book, and it has a lot of things in there that really pertain to us today. So now we'll start. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, the God and Father who raised him from the dead. Paul always has to defend his apostleship. It's always been that way. It's that way today. People don't really care about Paul. They go right to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they just go right past Paul. But what they don't understand is there's no salvation for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus only came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He only dealt with Israel, the Jews. And Paul is dealing with the Gentiles, see. He was apostle to the Gentiles. See, the apostles, Peter, James, and John, and the 12 apostles, see, they didn't deal with Gentiles. Jesus told them, he commanded them in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5, he commanded them not to go to the Gentiles, see, only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Jesus himself said, I've only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, see. And so churches don't listen to what Jesus said, see. But Paul is going to the Gentiles. That's us. A Gentile is any person that is not a Jew. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. So this is to you. And he is the apostle for the Gentile. And he was appointed by Jesus Christ. We'll look at that. If you wish to be in Ephesians, we did that there too. But we'll do it anyway. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and we'll see. This is just after his conversion. And Paul went to Ananias, and he was a believer, and told him to go get Paul. And he was scared to do it, because Paul was Saul of Tarsus at that time. And he was capturing these Jews that believed that Jesus was Messiah, and put them in chains, and take them back to Jerusalem, and put them in prison. And there they were convicted, and they were killed. There's no doubt about that. So they were scared of him. But Ananias was scared of Paul. But he said, go ahead, go thy way. Verses 15. Mine is red letter vision, so this shows, this is Jesus speaking. He says, go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and the kings, and the children of Israel. So we see that he was chosen directly by Jesus Christ to be the apostle to the Gentiles. So let's go back, let's go up to this verse 2. It says, and all the brethren who are with me unto the churches of Galatia. This epistle is from all these people and to all these churches of Galatia. Verse 3, it says, grace to you and peace from God, off God the Father. Grace. Now, we got to understand this word. This is tremendously a most important verse word in the vocabulary as far as Paul is concerned. What's grace mean? Unmerited favor. That means there's nothing that we have to do in order to be saved. We're saved by the grace of God. He does it all, see. He died on that cross to pay for your sins. He came down on this earth and took on a human body so that he could die. He was God. He couldn't die beforehand, but he took a human body on so he could pay the final sin debt for mankind. And when he died, his blood covered our sins totally. It paid for every sin that you've ever committed or ever will commit. And all he asks you to do is to believe it. And that's the gospel, see. That's the gospel that he preached, the gospel of grace. Unmerited favor. Christ did it all, and all you have to do is believe it. And the gospel is that Jesus died for your sins. You've got to believe that. He died for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel, and that's all Paul preached for salvation. That's salvation for the body of Christ, for the church today. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins and that he was buried and he rose from the dead, that's salvation. And that's all you can look that on. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 explains it perfectly. I call that the greatest verse in the Bible. And the second greatest verse in the Bible, Ephesians 1:13, it says if you believe the gospel of your salvation. And when you believe that gospel of your salvation, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That means you get the Holy Spirit comes and lives with you. That means Christ lives in you. You see, he does it all, and he'll keep you until the day of your redemption. When's that? When Christ comes back or you die. But you're going to be kept by that Holy Spirit that resides in you the rest of your life. See, God lives in me. Everything that I do, he's with me. He talks to me. I talk to him. He shows me. It's just beyond my imagination. He guides and directs my day. And it's just wonderful to have God living in you. But that's what salvation is. When you believe the gospel, you get sealed with the Holy Spirit. So grace means unmerited favor. There's nothing you can do for salvation except believe the gospel. So grace to you and peace, see. When you believe the gospel, you have peace from God, the Father. You see, the whole world out there is walking around with the wrath of God on them. Totally. You see, he gave his only son, see, and he died for their sins. And all he asked them to do is believe it. And they totally reject God. And I tell people that, they just walk away like, no, they totally reject God. And they don't have peace with God, see. They have the wrath of God is coming upon them. They're dead men walking when they don't believe the gospel for their salvation. All he asks us to do is believe it. And when we do, he seals us with the Holy Spirit, and we're his for eternity. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And verse 4, it says, who gave himself for our sins, see. That's grace. See, he gave himself. He died for our sins that he might deliver us from this present age, evil age, according to the will of God and the Father. See, he just totally delivered us out of this evil world, and he did it by paying for our sins. And now we can stand before God holy. It's just hard to even comprehend. Let's turn to Colossians. I want to show you something. It's one of my favorite verses. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 21. He's talking to this Colossians. They were also Gentiles, and they were pagans. They had no idea about God before Paul got there, and Paul preached the gospel to them. And it says, "And you," he said, and he could say that to me because Al Morse, that you were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now he hath reconciled you. We've been reconciled. How? In the body of his flesh. Through death, in Jesus' body, through death, to present you, see, because what he did on that cross, to present you holy. How can you imagine that? He's going to present me holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. This is in the sight of God. I can stand before God holy, unblameable, unreprovable. How can I do that? Because Christ has paid for every sin that I've ever committed or will commit. He's wiped the slate clean. I'm perfect as far as God is concerned, because I don't have any sin. It's been paid for by Jesus Christ, and all I had to do was believe it. And I do believe it. And He changed my life. He filled me with the Holy Spirit, and it's just beyond my imagination what that meant to me. It's just fantastic. But look at 23 here. It says, if. There's an if there, see. Why? What does it say? If you continue in the faith. What's the faith? When you say faith, you just think the gospel. Because the faith in the gospel is salvation. You see? That's what it is. It's the gospel. It says, if you continue in the gospel, grounded and settled and not be moved away, see, from the hope of what? The gospel. See? He didn't leave any questions what it meant. You've got to be settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, in which I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul preached it to everybody under heaven when he walked these earth. All the known world, he got the gospel to. And the preachers, I've been in church, I'm 71 years old, and I've been in church my whole life, and I've yet to be in a church that preached the gospel. The preachers today have totally turned their back on the gospel. Totally turned their back on it. And that's all Paul preached to the Gentiles, and that's salvation for the Gentiles. Are all these churches, are they all going to hell? I say so. I'm sorry. I'm saying so because they're not saved. Believing in Jesus isn't salvation. It's believing Jesus. When Jesus tells you to do something, you do it. And He told us, and we're going to see this, He told us to believe the gospel for our salvation. It's just like Abraham. He was counted righteous not because he believed in God. He was counted righteous because he believed God. See, tremendous difference. And Jesus told us to believe the gospel for our salvation. He pointed. Don't you think He has the right to tell you how to be saved when He's the one that saved you by dying on that cross? And so He told us. He pointed us to what He did on that cross for our salvation. And the churches have just totally turned their back on that. And it's just horrendously horrible. We're going to see how horrible it is here just real soon. Okay, let's go on. We found out how, you know, we have grace and that we have peace with God. And he said, verse 4, it said, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God our Father. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Now, verse 6. Now, this is going to start something that would boggle most people's mind because they don't study the Word of God. But look what it says. Paul was very concerned about these churches, and that's why he wrote these letters. Very concerned, and he said, I marvel that you so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Somebody was getting there and was coming into the churches and adding to the gospel. See, who were they? Well, who they were Jews. Jews, these same Jews that Saul of Tarsus had ran out of Jerusalem because he was after them that believed that Jesus was the Messiah and that when he was capturing them. And so they scattered like a covey of quail out of Jerusalem. And where do they end up? In Turkey. And that's where Paul started his first churches, see. And so they had synagogues there that they opened up in Turkey. And these people in those synagogues believed, see, they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. That's how why they had to leave Jerusalem, because Saul of Tarsus was there. So, when Paul came in, he changed his name to Paul so that he wouldn't scare the people, because of the Saul was a scary name to Jews. But he changed his name to Paul. They never saw him face to face. And he changed his name, and he started these churches. They're based on grace, the gospel of grace, that on the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That was salvation for this church, and nothing else. Well, the Jews came into these churches and said, look, we believe in Jesus too, but you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. You have to keep the law in order to be saved. And who else knows what else they said, but many things. And so what they were doing, they were putting works on grace, and it doesn't mix. Grace and God and works don't mix. We have no works to do for our salvation. The gospel of grace is that he did it all, see? Christ, when Jesus did everything, all we have to do is believe the gospel. And Paul was writing to shut this off. I mean, he was very concerned about it, because you don't add anything to the gospel for your salvation, because Christ did it all. And you're not going to put up with any more than that. He did it. We do nothing except believe it. And they wanted to add some works to it. Okay? He says, I marvel that you so soon removed from him who called you unto grace of Christ to another gospel. Verse 7, which is not another, but there are some that would trouble you, that would pervert the gospel. See, pervert the gospel. What does that mean? Adding to it or taking away from it. You pervert it. If you pervert it, it just goes to pot. It's just like taking and putting a piece of fruit in a bunch of other fruit, and it's rotten. You leave it in there very long, and it rottens the whole thing. See, potato, you know how that does. It'll rotten the whole thing, and that's what happens. When you add anything to the gospel, pretty soon it perverts it, and pretty soon you find yourself in a situation where the original is worthless, and that's what happens when you add to the gospel. Okay? So he said that some would come in trouble and pervert the gospel. Well, here's what he thought about this. Look at verses 8. Verses 8, it says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What does the curse mean? It means anathema. It means hell. It means fire. I mean, he's telling them, if you pervert this gospel, you add anything or preach anything other than the gospel which I preached to you, which he preached, the gospel of grace, he said, you're accursed. He didn't say it just one time. Look at verses 9. As I say before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, I ask you this question. Does your preacher preach the gospel for salvation? Does he tell you, does you ever hear him stand up and say, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to show you what salvation for the church is. This is salvation for the church. Has he ever done that? Has he ever stood up and said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe? You hear what I said? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. Isn't that what we're looking for, salvation? And how you get it? For those who believe. Believe what? The gospel. That's Romans 1:16. Have you ever had your pastor come up and tell you that? Teach that? You know, I never have. Never once. I haven't found a church that does it yet. What they tell you? You've got to take Jesus as your Savior. You've got to believe in Jesus. You've got to take Jesus in your heart. Is that in the gospel? What is the gospel? You believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he raised from the dead. And that's salvation. Did it say anything about believing in Jesus? No. Did it say anything about taking Jesus as your Savior? No. Did it say anything about taking Jesus in your heart? No. Did it say anything about being baptized? Well, no. Did it say anything about speaking in tongues? Well, no. Did it say anything about about joining a church? No. Did it say anything about praying to Mary? No. Did it say anything about praying to the saints? No. Did it say anything about giving your tithe? No. It just said, believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. And the churches have gone to all these things I'm talking about is Judaism. Every one of them is Judaism. And we're not Jews, see. We're not Jews. And when Jesus preached, and Peter, James, and John preached, they didn't preach the gospel of grace. They preached the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is totally different than the gospel of grace. And when Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles, Jesus is the one that appointed him. And he told him exactly what he would preach to this church, to preach them, to show them what salvation was. And it had nothing to do with Judaism. He totally set the Jews totally aside. Totally set them aside. When I say that, I need to tell you, show it to you. Let's turn to Romans. Back to Romans. You see, they totally rejected him, see. Jesus, the Jews did. They crucified him. They killed him. And so, about the time when Stephen was martyred, it's about that time when Jesus just said, you know, God just said, it's over with. And that's when he called Paul, see. That's when he saved him on the road to Damascus, just not too long after that. And everything changed. So, let's look at chapter 11. I told him that they set the Jews aside, see, totally. Okay, look what it says in verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained what which he seeketh for, but the election. Who's the election? Peter, James, and John, and the apostles, and the few people that believed the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus was the Messiah. They have attained it. But the rest, how many were the rest? Millions. Millions. Millions of Jews didn't even come close to accepting the gospel. They all turned away from it, but the rest were blinded. According to it is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. Unto this day, see, unto this day. Now look at verses 25. It says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that the blindness in part is happened to Israel until when, it's a time word, the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. They're going to continue to be blind until the body of Christ, the fullness of the Gentiles, when the church of the body of Christ is full. And you know God knows exactly that the last person on this earth is going to accept the gospel. And when that happens, we're out of here. And then God's going to deal with the Jews and the unbelievers, and it's during the tribulation period. So he's going to take us out, and then he's going to deal with them during the tribulation period. Let's go back to Galatians. I should have marked it myself. Okay, Galatians. So we find that anybody who preached any other gospel than what Paul preached, they're accursed. So I'm telling you, there's an awful lot of churches out there, see, that never the gospel was preached, see. The never gospel was never preached to me by a preacher. The gospel was given to me by a man by the name of Les Feldick. And he was a rancher in Oklahoma. He was a cattle rancher. He raised cattle for a living. But he teaches the Bible. And he was the greatest Bible teacher I've ever heard. And he showed me the gospel. And as soon as I saw that gospel, I knew it. I knew it was a fact. And as soon as I told Jesus, I believe this gospel for my salvation. I just sat down in my chair by myself and I said, I believe this gospel for my salvation. That Christ died for my sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead. All of a sudden, he opened my eyes that I could see, literally. I was looking at the scriptures, and I've been, all my life been studying and never been able to understand the word of God. But as soon as I told the Lord that I believed the gospel, he opened my eyes, and 10 hours later, I was still studying and understanding. And I've been doing it every day since. And I love it. He just gave me 100 more IQ points in the scripture. That's all I can say. He opened my eyes. Before, I couldn't make it 10 minutes in my mind to be someplace else. Did you ever read the Bible? Sit down to read the Bible and read it in 10 minutes and read some areas in the Bible and then think about it and you don't even remember what you read? You got to read it over again and over again. I wore out 2.5 Bibles trying to understand the Bible. But as soon as I was filled with the Holy Spirit, He changed my life. Totally changed my life. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, we become a new creation, see. And old things have passed away. What's passed away means dead. Old things in your life that you meant so much to you, they will pass away. And all things that became new. That's exactly what happened in my life. I spend my whole day, every day, serving the Lord. It's just wonderful. Wonderful. I just love being in the Bible and studying and teaching. It's just everything that I never was before. And it only happened when I believed the gospel and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, I never had the Holy Spirit before. And I was a religious man as anybody there was out there. In church always. Involved in churches always. Supported missionaries always. Built churches with my bare hands. I was there. I was always there. I had church in my own home for 18 years, but never knew the gospel. Because the preacher would never preach the gospel. He just preached believing in Jesus. And I went to so many different churches, and they all were the same. Let's look at verses 10. We're just about ready to have to close this. For I do not seek the favor of men or of God, or do I please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ, you see. It's just, we're going to go on from there, but we're going to have to stop here because of the time constraint. But we're going to start with verse 11. And verse 11 is a fantastic verse. And this part, this will really help you in your studies. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just praise you and thank you so much for this time to talk to you, these people, about the gospel and about Galatians. And just, I pray you open up their heart till they understand this word so that they come to the knowledge of Jesus through the gospel. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.